All right. Well, Donald Trump's big win last night further consolidated his position as the Republican frontrunner, but he still does not have a lock on the nomination. That's because it's far from certain that he can win those 1,237 delegates that Colin was talking about before this summer's convention. It's why Trump calls it a rigged system, as he did again last night.
It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice. Nobody should take delegates and claim victory unless they get those delegates with voters and voting. It's a crooked system. It's a system that's rigged. And we're going to go back to the old way. It's called you vote and you win.
Now, Trump might have been referring there to the Massachusetts Republican primary in particular. Last month, he won big here, trouncing Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who finished a distant fourth. And yet, Cruz is poised to have the most Massachusetts supporters at the Republican convention. Why? Well, because those are the rules set by the state GOP. The Boston Globe wrote about this today in its lead editorial entitled "The GOP's Ramshackle Nomination Process." And Alex Kingsbury is deputy ideas editor at the Globe and part of the paper's editorial board. And he's with us now. Alex, good to have you.
Oh, hello, Anthony.
So as your editorial points out, Trump won 49% of the Republican primary vote in Massachusetts, Cruz just over 9%. But that doesn't mean Trump gets 49% of the state's delegates at the GOP convention in Cleveland. So explain this. How does the state GOP award its delegates?
Well, so the delegates are broken out into sort of three groups. First of all, you have the three full-time sort of Republican delegates, the state chair, the national committee one, and the national committeeman, that are sort of guaranteed a spot. Then you have 12 at-large delegates who sort of are picked by the Republican state committee. Five of those are going for Trump or have been allotted to Trump. And then you have 27 delegates that are chosen at the congressional sort of level. Each of the congressional districts gets to pick three. And you run for those spots on the national convention. You have your name submitted and people vote on them, and then you travel to Cleveland to the big show.
Right, and the issue here is that Cruz supporters and those who are determined to stop Trump have just done a lot better at installing delegates who are friendly to their cause, and this means they have to support Trump on the first ballot only, right? But then they're released to support whoever they want, and this is where Cruz would come out ahead.
Right, and that's provided that it goes that Trump doesn't get the 1,237 nominee, right, and it goes to that second ballot, in which case, you know, a lot of delegates are going to be freed up, and this is from many different states where it sort of becomes a free for all. Now, we think that Cruz seems to have this organizational advantage in Massachusetts. Many of the people that we spoke with seem to indicate that, but again, in politics, winning sort of follows winning. So if Trump's big win in New York carries on to something different, maybe you find that some of those delegates have reconsidered and they're willing to stick with Trump for a little longer or not. I mean, it really does kind of go to the wind and is a lot is left up to chance at the convention.
Alex, I want to ask you about sort of the first line of the editorial today. I'll just condense a little bit, but basically you guys wrote, it's not such a scandal that Ted Cruz may be poised to have the most Massachusetts supporters at the Republican convention. What's a scandal is that the Massachusetts primary process, for all its flaws, is actually one of the fairer and more transparent contests on the Republican side. Can you explain that a little bit? I mean, how does Massachusetts compare to the way other states select delegates?
Sure. I mean, you know, every state almost has their own unique sort of model for doing this. And, you know, one of the things this extended election period has really brought to the fore is how varied these processes are. Now, Donald Trump complains about this sort of being a rigged system, but he didn't have any problem with South Carolina or Arizona. Those were both states where he won 100% of the delegates and less than half the votes cast. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of a case of selective outrage. But basically, I mean, what we have in the states is a power sharing agreement of sorts between party officials, elected officials, voters, activists, all these sort of different groups. And the political parties at the state level essentially use a ticket to the national convention as a reward in many cases for a sort of a thankless job of being a town party official or so forth and so on. So this is a very sort of diffuse system of authority, and, you know, it could definitely benefit from some reform. Now, the Globe editorial page has been, we've had a lot of suggestions for the GOP this year. It remains to be seen, but we did call for them to sort of root and branch reform the entire system nationwide rather than just in one state or another.
You know, it's interesting. It really sounds like when you read the kind of detailed analysis of the way the system works, it's easy on the one hand to sort of sympathize with Trump and say, this doesn't sound very democratic. Interestingly, today in your paper, columnist Jeff Jacoby made the point that the framers of the Constitution, you know, thought about this with some deliberation, and they were wary of popularity and public passion, that it not be embedded in the constitutional framework, that and framers actually took pains to disperse authority among multiple institutions. So on the one hand, maybe there's a need for reform. On the other hand, maybe the system is working. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Just so. I mean, Jacoby, I think, calls it indirect democratic republic, which is sort of how the national model is structured around the Electoral College, right? There isn't direct representation as such. And the framers of the Constitution didn't foresee political parties. So in many ways, it's kind of uncharted territories. And the parties just kind of look to replicate in the party level, right, the private party system that puts forward a nominee, the kind of indirect representation that you'd have in the Electoral College anyway.
All right. Well, that's Alex Kingsbury. He's deputy ideas editor at The Globe and part of the paper's editorial board. You can find a link to today's editorial, the GOP's ramshackle nomination process, at RadioBoston.org. Alex, thanks so much. Great to have you.
Always happy to do it.
And stay with us. Coming up, the Duxbury couple, who've been setting up an Ask a Muslim table around Boston. We'll ask them some questions. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.